Gila just blessed the beat.
Everybody, this is Shauna the Songbird,
and this is Shahari,
and welcome once again to Why the Songbird Sings. So Shahari, what has been going on with you these past few weeks?
Well, for today, I just heard that opening, and you gave half of your life for it, so we did that. And for the week, past couple of weeks, I guess I'm getting ready for our concert, from my first concert being a librarian from the symphony. So that's been a thing to get used to. But other than that, you know, the usual, just getting house stuff together. Seems like it never ends, but it will end eventually, yeah.
Definitely, I definitely can understand that.
But I've been good. I've been going out a little bit, having a drink a little bit, and coming back. And it's been an experience living with my friends for this month that I've been here almost. Yeah, they've been really nice. And they are characters in themselves. So, the baby's a happy baby. The dog is really wants a lot of attention. It's almost kind of annoying, but damn, it's cool. All has been well. What about you?
Well, that is beautiful. I'm happy to hear. Things are going well in your professional life, that you are enjoying a good beverage and some good company as well. That is very good. And I'm very proud of you. Who would have thought that you would have been here, especially when me personally, I thought you had given up at one point. And so I'm happy to see that you are still are pushing, you're still doing your thing. I'm very,
yes, thanks, Mom. Yep.
Don't do that.
Like, sound just like a motherly mother.
Anyways, yep. All right, so we're gonna cut the episode off right here because Shahari bothers my soul at this point.
Oh, I thought you were serious. I thought we were really about to stop recording. Like, okay, you'll get over it.
But no, so I got the job in New York City, and I'm just trying to find housing. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and so, like, I don't want a roommate. And so, like, I'm trying to find, like, stuff by myself, but I'm also trying to, like, be within a certain budget. But also, things are in New York City are, like, you know, triple times what it is in, like, the normal world. So it's kind of unfortunate. But I'm just like, but then if I do have a roommate, I'm like, well, what am I willing to tolerate as far as like, the setup? So it's just kind of like trying to figure those things out.
The hospital doesn't have a solution for that.
Well, I do my own housing, and the hospital doesn't do any of that.
Yeah, don't they, like, sometimes provide
housing? The hospital does not. My company does, but what they'll do is they'll just put me in a hotel, and I don't want to do a hotel because I still want, like, I make noises, as you know, used to live with me, so, like, what's called, I want to be able to make my noises freely. I want to have, at least have a kitchen or something to, like, cook and stuff, because eating out, especially eating out in New York City, it definitely takes away, like, $400 out your budget, so it's just, like, it's like eating, transportation, like, it definitely takes a lot. So it's like, it's just easier to, like, just for me to, like, just be at home and cook. And, like, I eat out on days that I work, but then on my off days, sit at home and cook. It's just so much easier with life. But, but yeah, so, figuring that out, but it's fine. I still have, I have until November, so, I mean, I have some weeks left. After that, oh, I went to my grandfather's thing, my brother and I, and it was just, it was so nice. Before we went, I texted my father and I was like, you know, I haven't made a big deal about this, but I just asked if you can please not call me your son, and if you choose not to, if you don't want to call me daughter or she, just call me your child and call me by my name, please, because I want to spend this time to enjoy my family, because I haven't seen them, and yeah, we, I don't have a strong connection with them, but you know, they're still my family, and the pandemic has definitely taught me to, like, kind of love on my people more. Because, when you have to be that substitute family member for, those people who are dying by themselves, and make it, it puts you in perspective of, you know, how much we as humans do want connection no matter what. So, and so, yeah, so I walked in, it was fine, even though it was moments where my, I felt like, my grandfather didn't know who my brother was, or, and my grandmother didn't know who I was. And then my baby brother, who's 11, was trying to, like, trying to get, like, money and whatnot out of me and my middle brother. I was just like, okay, this is cute. This is fun. And yeah, and it was just a time. And I hung out with my my aunt and uncle. Nope, my aunt and uncle are in their 30s. So we all hung out and had drinks, and it was fun. And yeah, it was a good time. And yeah, work is work. I'm getting too comfortable here, so therefore I know it's time for me to go and not come back, because I'm getting too comfortable. With the employees.
You're still in St. Louis.
I am still in St. Louis. And this is my second time at this particular hospital. And so I'm starting to get to the point to where I'm getting more relaxed. I'm getting more handsy. I'm getting more cussy. Like, I'm getting too comfortable. And yeah, I don't need to get comfortable, because things happen. So, so yeah, I love it. I love it here. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love the hospital. Don't get me wrong. It's better than some places I've been to in the United States. But it's just, yeah, it's not safe when I am comfortable. Baby, that looks like a toy. Your mic.
Well, I am glad that you gave your dad more than one option. Very glad about that. Understand his perspective, and it sounds like your, what's your cousin who was trying to get money?
No, my baby brother. My baby brother. Yeah, baby brother. My baby brother is 11, and yes, he was trying to con some money, telling me and my brother we missed so many birthdays and Christmases that we owe him X amount of gifts and whatnot. And I said, boy,
yes, that's a smart young man, but also Yes.
Yeah. I found out that my baby brother is low key like head of like a mafia. Literally, like he's, this is what he told me. He said, I said, well, so what do you do for fun? He said, I like to beat people up. I was like, what? He said, yeah, like they will owe me money and I have give them a certain amount of time to pay the money back. Sometimes I charge them interest and I beat them up. And then like sometimes my friends will beat them up for me just because. I'm like, what in the damn little mini mafia shit? You the godfather and shit? What's going on?
And yeah, don't come for my mic. You have your mic.
Well, what you call it? It just came out of the screen and looked like. But like for me, it just came out of the screen and just looked like a little like R2, like a R2-D2 type toy just coming out. But yeah, interesting. But yeah, but that little child, I just told him, I was like, you better take care of me when I'm old. That's all that. That's all that. That's all that I'm over here worried about. Like, look here. I changed the diaper. I fed you. I took you where you needed to go. I did. Yeah, I was older at the time. So, like, I did most of, like, the driving, most of the cooking, most of the making sure the...
You realize you just said you were older at the time, right?
Remember, my little brother is 11.
Yes.
Yes. Anyways, my little brother is 11, so when he came around, I was already in college. So it was just like, yeah. And then my middle brother was like more so like I had him do most of the diapers, and the boys mostly did like a good amount of the cleaning and like the heavy like lifting of the chores. I did most of the cooking and the management stuff since I was the older one. And the girls did the rest of the cleaning and whatnot. But like for me it was a chore because it was like 11 of us in the house. So, and of course, obviously. Yeah, growing up was interesting, because, I had to make sure that all, you know, 6 or 7 children are together and behaving well. That's include the older ones as well, so. Including the ones who were older than me, I still had to make sure they were behaving.
Yes, you've don't always been a mother. Motherly mother.
Anyways, but so it was a fun time. Interesting, weird at one point, but overall good. So
yeah, that was a good check-in.
All right, so I guess now it's time for reflections. They say that the eyes are the windows to the soul, but you question if people are actually looking in or just gazing on the outside. For years, people will attempt to read you and believe that they understand you, including your own family. For years, it frustrated you. You understood them and connected with them and even modified yourself to your environment to make them all comfortable. But you know that if you truly let down your defenses, you will be ostracized by your community. I find it interesting that even though you had minimum queer representation, little to none, that you instinctively knew what to do to survive. You will for years steer clear of the pitchforks and the cross burnings, even when you are in the same room with your sibling. Oh, how I wish I could fully unlock your brain to activate the power you possess inside, because you wouldn't no longer be a chameleon, but a colorful bird you truly are. Then again, it seems God listened to your young prayers for protection and those bathroom cries for you to be saved from the world. Since the 90s and the early 2000s, still behaved as though your people are nothing but demonic villains in books and urban folklore. Keep praying, baby, and know things will get better. I know, and even now, am praying for better days. Love, Shauna the Songbird.
We're always going to change it up every time.
Like, it's early. I'm draining.
It is early. I had a hard time getting up.
I'm draining a little bit, so the high note was just not. It was just not going to be a thing right now. So we're going to go ahead and just go into reflections.
Okay, that was more morbid than usual. So what was happening during this time?
Well, first of all, I had an encounter with a young man the other day where we were talking, and I was looking into his eyes, and it was just like, I don't know, it was something about his eyes to me that were like, I don't know, they were informative about, it was just something informative about it, and it caused a nice little connection, and so then it made me start thinking about when I have looked at people in their eyes, and how, like, I don't know, it seemed like when people actually, like, looked into my eyes, like, they were able to, like, relax and were able to, like, I don't know, like, get on another wavelength in order to, like, understand and let their guard down, because I guess they looked in and saw something as well. But then, and so I was going to go very, like, lovey, intimate with the reflections at first. But then I had, like, this dream where, like, people I knew from childhood and everything, I had a, like, this bad dream where, like, it was all cool, it was all dandy, but then it had turned, and it turned to a point to where they were trying to kill me and everything, and I was just like, wait, how did it go from, you know, us just having a good time to them trying to kill me, and one person even stated, you know, other things that might not be appropriate to say on air, but overall still negative in a sense. And that was my whole thing for when I woke up. And so, like, my mind and everything was just very, was very fresh off of that. But also I still had wanted to talk about the whole eye situation. So, I kind of combined the thoughts together, cause I did write this morning. So I went back into my childhood, and I remember, you know, having similar encounters where I would, when people actually looked me in my eyes and everything, the vibes and the feeling and the atmosphere shifted and changed. with those people. And some people accepted it and you know, and it was fine. Some people resisted it and it became uncomfortable for some. And it was the fact that, you know, those were the moments where I felt like I was actually seen as who I was versus me conforming to the people or environment I was in. Because, I mean, I grew up in the South. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, like I said, during the 90s and the early 2000s. And, you know, and I'm an inner city child. You know, I come from a place where, you know, we heard gunshots literally every day. So the neighborhood and everything, you can kind of almost understand why I needed the ability to blend in or at least give people a small amount of reason to fuck with me, to be honest. And that was for my survival. And it was nothing that I did, I would say, consciously. It was kind of like, it literally just developed. And I noticed that. And then I remember how there used to be times where I used to be in the bathroom crying, asking to be saved or to be understood and this and the other. Because I felt like, people didn't truly understand me. Like, they thought they would know me and they thought they had me all figured out. And that still happens today where people think they have me all figured out. And I'm just like, you're so wrong. You're so wrong. But, you know, but I guess I will allow you to have your opinion, I guess, even if your opinion is wrong. But yeah. And so, so then I just wondered, like, what if, like, I tapped into the whole, my feminine energy and the realization of who I was deep down beforehand, you know, how would it be? How would growing up be? How would being in school be? Because even though people had their things and to a lot of people, they created that as, oh, it's Shauna, and doing that to have me as like a third thing outside of, like, it's the boys, it's the girls, and then there's Shauna, and I would just be a third thing. Even when it came to like PE and sports, when they would split up like the boys and the girls, like, in a sense, some people are just like, well, Shauna can come to the girl's side. Or the teacher might be like, no, Shauna goes to the boy's side. And they're just like, well, blah, 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 blah. So it just made me just wonder things and think things. And things are getting better for the queer community. However, we are nowhere near close to where we used to be in life. And nowhere near to having the openness and freedom that we should have. So yeah. And so that's like me defining my reflections and everything for you.
Okay. So by looking in your eyes, it took away some of that awkward energy and just looked at you for a person instead of just looking at you as some random thing.
Correct. Oh, not some random thing. Not calling me a thing.
I mean, well, you know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, essentially, that's what it feels like sometimes, to be honest, when I am interacting with certain people and they find out about me, it feels like I then leave the category of a person and I become a thing, as though I'm some type of like unicorn or a nymph or something like that.
You do run like a fairy.
You know what? I'm not going to go there with you because we already had that moment in episodes past, what you talking about me running. So I'm not going to go into it again with you. So, but yeah, but that's me and my reflections. So yes, Shahari, now after that very morbid reflections, can you give us some words of light?
Today's Words of Light, I guess, welcome to Words of Light segment, if I should say that, I don't know. But today, we want to talk about our identity in Christ. So in the last session, we talked about listening to what God says about you and speaking life over yourself situation and not bearing witness to man as far as like not letting man define you, because ultimately, what does man know? So that's what we talked about last session. This word is based on the prophet Dr. Jolene Whitaker's broadcast that I looked at a little while ago. It's about identity in Christ. So we're going to go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And that is, let me read that for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in order to get our identity in Christ, you have to realize who you are, what you are, and we've all been saved by his grace. Now, we're going to go to Genesis 1 and 26. Let me get that pulled up. Genesis. Okay. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So we have dominion over everything on the earth. Realize the power that you have, and that you are a masterpiece. Now going to Psalms 5 and 12, it's talking about the righteousness that you have whenever you choose this God life. So, for you, bless the righteous, O Lord, you cover him and favor us as with a shield. So by choosing this God life, you choose righteousness and you are covered with favor and you are shielded from all those spirits that walk around. So in identity in Christ, we are saved by his grace. We have been given dominion over the earth and we are covered with favor if we walk in righteousness. Now I'm going to go over what happens when you dissociate from God. So we're going to go to Mark 5. 1 through 20. It's talking about the man who had all these demons in him.
Oh, the one that he cast out and put into the pig? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. no one had the strength to subdue him. So he had so many spirits in him that he was too strong to even be bound by regular conventions. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. He had so many spirits in him that he was injuring himself. And you've seen people today that cut mm-hmm. themselves, such like that. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So even the spirits knew who he was, knew Jesus.
Amen.
I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion." These are the spirits talking. There's so many spirits in him that his own name has changed into Legion. "For we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and an unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed in his right mind. I think I can stop there. But you know, whenever we dissociate from God, we are more susceptible to spirits that will cause us to change for the worse most of the time. We're talking about the righteous are covered with the favor as with a shield. So without that favor, you're just open to any and everything. And then your identity changes. Like his name changed to Legion, whatever his name was before. I don't know what it was before, but it most likely wasn't mm-hmm. Legion. So that's the types of stuff that could happen whenever you dissociate from God. Another example would be Satan. You know, Satan was Lucifer before he became Satan. Mm-hmm. And he thought himself better. So he dissociated from God and he became kind of delusional. And then God made him depart from him and he became Satan. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go over some points. The focus today was to learn about our identity and what happens to it when we dissociate from God. When you deny God, you lose your true identity. Your name can even change. Same as Lucifer, when he defied God and thought himself better, he fell from the favor of God and became a being only wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. When before that, he was a created being with great authority and beauty and ability. So in choosing life, in choosing a sinful life, you surrender your true identity. It's time to remember who you were. Return to your true identity and reality, your correct position. Now today, make this resolution with me today. I resolve that no more will I let other people press me into their mold. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to fulfill the plan that God has for my life, not somebody else's plan for my life. So that's your resolution today, that you could speak out for yourself. I have this prayer, and we're going to close up. So, yeah. Lord, I pray that I would stop trying to find my identity in anything other than being your child, a child of the King and a citizen in the kingdom of God. Thank you for this amazing grace in my life. Help me to see the minute I start placing my identity in something else, my children, my career, my marriage, my gifts and talents. Help me in those moments to remember that all of those things, even though they are good gifts, will never satisfy me the way you will. Help me keep you before me in all things. I pray that you would unlock my heart that I might be fully alive to my true identity in you. Give me clear revelation to see myself the way you see me. Help me to stand in your truth against all enemy attacks and guard my heart with all vigilance. Proverbs 4:23. Help me to identify the lies and reveal to me any places where I am chained to the past in a negative way. I repent of any lies of the past. Name those lies and ask God to forgive you. Teach me to hear your voice and not believe the enemy's destructive lies about who I am. I thank you for my uniqueness and that I am made in your image. Genesis 1:27. I want to understand and feel the deep things in your heart for me. 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. I choose to believe the truth about who you see me, about how you see me. I thank you that I can hope in the future and believe in the good destiny that you have for me. You have vision for my future. Help me to live a fruitful life now and overflow with your love to others. Give me greater authority in my prayer life. I want to know you on a deeper level, and I don't want anything to hinder my relationship with you. I thank you that I am your child. John 1:12. I have been justified. Romans 5:1. I am your friend. John 15:15. I belong to you. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I am a member of your body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by you. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. I am a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20. I am blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3. I am chosen before the creation of the world. Ephesians 1:4-11. I am holy and blameless. Ephesians 1:3. I am chosen before the creation of the world. I am forgiven. Ephesians 1:8. Colossians 1:14. I am adopted as your child. Ephesians 1:5. I have purpose. Ephesians 1:9. I have hope. Ephesians 1:12. I am included. I am an overcomer. I am protected. I am a new creation. I am qualified to share in your inheritance. I am the righteousness of God. I am safe. I am part of your kingdom. I can understand what your will is. I have God's power, and I am victorious. Thank you for this new identity I have in you. Help me to live out this truth in my life every day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So that is your words of light. Go forth and prosper, and continue to seek your identity in Christ.
Now, once again, Mr. B, you did that. You did that. And once again, I just love how the correlation of it all. The correlation like between the reflections and into the words of light,
it does seem to go together half the time.
Majority of the time.
I don't know how it happens, but it does.
I told you, it's God. It is a God, and I love it.
Black Girl Sunscreen was designed to start the conversation around sun safety and education. Black Girl Sunscreen took the number one reason black women weren't wearing sunscreen and solved it in a way that connected with them specifically. Our community matters, and when it comes to melanoma, black people have a lower survival rate due to late diagnosis compared to other races. Decreasing the risk of melanoma is just as important as decreasing the number of people that die from it. Wearing sunscreen is essential. Black Girl Sunscreen has you looking good and feeling good by leaving no white cast through incorporating moisturizing ingredients that also protect your skin. Stay safe, stay calm, stay moisturized.
So yes, everyone, check out that business and enjoy. So Shahari, are you prepared for this interview that is coming up?
I can only hope so, because I never know what the interviews are going to be like, because they're all different characters. So I just hope so.
You know, you're certainly right. And I was happy when this person was able to schedule an interview, and we were able to get them on, because it's nice to have another person who is of the trans experience, who is of the plus size experience, a person that is truly a creative, holding up space and everything, and truly educating the people and the world what trans people are capable of. And that person will be Miss Mojo. So Miss Mojo, she, her pronouns, is a multi-talented personality, curator, photographer, poet, plus-size model, and artist from New York City. Anointed the queen of the trans revolution, Mojo is an advocate for the Black trans community, the arts, equality, and love. Miss Mojo is the artist and the art. She currently is a member of BTFA Collective and works to liberate and support Black trans femmes in the arts. And so I'm super excited for this interview, Miss Mojo. But when I first met Miss Mojo, I was like, oh my goodness, she is gorgeous. And began talking and observing, and she had me laughing for what seemed like forever. And I can tell that she was being completely genuine and she was being herself. And then from there, we began following each other on social media and everything. And I just love her content. I love her slick comments. I follow her. I was in rooms with her on Clubhouse, and honey, when I say she is who she is, and she has definitely found who she is and cultivated the person that she truly is, and it shows, and you can't help but to love her. So I hope that you and the rest of the listeners fall in love with Miss Mojo as I have. Hopefully we can do some more creative things with her, and possibly her and her co-host with her podcast and whatnot, and get things going. I think that would be super fun and interesting. So let's go ahead and head to the interview. You have any last things to say before we go?
No, let's head to the interview.
Hi, everybody. Welcome again to Why the Songbird Sings. Today we have Miss Mojo as our special guest.
Yeah.
Love her. Miss Mojo, so tell us how you're doing, what's new, your favorite color, anything that you would like the audience to know.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Miss Mojo. I am feeling blessed and highly flavored. My favorite color is gold and black. And currently I'm working on many different projects, including my debut EP, Juicy. So I took a little break from the studio to come meet with y'all tonight. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We're so excited to have you. Mm-hmm. I remember my first time meeting you. Ooh, I want to say
reminisce.
What's it called? I met you in someone's apartment, and you literally just made me laugh for like a good 15 minutes.
Wow, that sounds accurate.
Like just your energy and your personality is like, I just love it.
Thank you.
So thank you for being you and the person that you are.
And thank you for not naming that person apartment it was.
Oh, child. You should know, honey. Baby. Especially after dealing with trade, honey, you never drop names.
Baby. No, you don't.
Oh, I digress. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so Miss Mojo. Yes. So a question that we were wondering was your name and its meaning. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, no problem. So before I elevated into this era that is Miss Mojo, I went by Mojo Disco. And before that, I went by my government aliases. So basically, I think my transition from man to woman needed that proper ushering into the next chapter. So for me, when you Google search Miss Mojo versus Mojo Disco, you see two different energies. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to be clear by my works and by, you know, the activism work I do, like my whole advocacy and my politics changed a lot from the Mojo Disco brand. So Miss Mojo just sums it up. Miss, that bitch, and Mojo, you come on. That's my uniqueness. That's my nerd. That's my talent. That's my charisma, my grace, my lace, and my waist. Like, it's everything. It's everything.
Mm-hmm. I am touched. I and love
my
it.
Face. You can't forget my face.
All right. All tens across the board.
Thank you.
So what events or influenced you to create your content, and like what is your desired audience and what was your desired audience?
I've always created from and for Blackness. I tell people before I identify as queer, I grew up hip hop, right? I'm mm-hmm. from New York City. So the queer shit came a little bit later. So for me, everything, all of my art is inspired by hip hop. It's inspired by that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff. And I like to reimagine a world where trans women were not excluded, because we've always been here. Mm-hmm. But included, right, in the culture and in the art of what Black excellence is. So whether it's my poetry, my painting, my digital visuals, my content, I always strive to make sure it's Black excellent, very Black, very queer, very hip-hop focused and themed, and just very dope shit.
Yes, I can vouch for that. I think one of the videos that made me go, yes, you are that bitch, was when you did the Living Single
yes, she is
remake. Yes.
Baby, and let me tell you something, okay? Hollywood is one hell of a thing, because that dance almost killed the bitch. You hear me? Almost tucked me out. And I had to do it like 7 times so I got the right cut, baby. Woo! Now I knew why that woman was bending over backwards at the end. She was tired.
Because when I say, like, your energy, like, I can tell, like, you were giving it all of your energy. And And it was just like, I was like, okay, come on.
Yes, this was no TikTok dance, y'all. This was choreography. Okay. It was boom cack.
I love it. And then the other one that I enjoyed, it was it's two more. Okay. I'm just gonna fangirl for a minute.
Yes, please, get out. Remind me, girl, when I post, I go, I don't remember it. So thank you.
You're welcome. Another one was when it was when you was taking your estrogen shot. And I was like,
my lady,
this is the most artistic way of someone receiving a shot I've ever seen. And I was like, you made it look attractive. And I was like, when I give myself mine, like, it don't look like that.
Well, a little backstory. So I did that film while I was battling COVID. Right. So I got COVID in the beginning, like the OG COVID, not this cute shit that's out now. I got the original COVID. Like, I want to say New York shut down on the 10th of March. Mm-hmm. I had a fever the 12th of March.
Damn.
Like, they shut down for bitches like me. So the time of that video, I thought I was going to die. Mm. Oh, not to be dark, but I thought I was going to die because there was no such thing as a vaccine. They were barely testing people back mm-hmm. then. So I'm like, oh my God, all the doctors kept telling me was to just see it through. And all they offered me was Tylenol. I said, oh bitch, this is it for you. So what that film was supposed to be was my last piece of, oh my God, I'm getting teary. It was supposed to be my last piece of artwork. Because I said, bitch, if you're leaving this place, you're gonna leave with grace and you're gonna have a piece of work that solidifies who you were before you left. So that's why the Lady Shot film is so gentle and so calm and it's so attractive. And I did it in not one take because I shot it by myself, but everything that happened in that film, it was accidental. But I was like, you know what? We're gonna keep it. Because there's a point in the film where I actually prick myself and end up bleeding. But I thought that was a good representation of what I was actually feeling, you know, and thank God I'm still here to tell this story. But that was, I felt in my heart, that would be my last piece of work. Oh, I'm so passionate about it. And I'm so happy it touched you the way it did. For real, for real.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Can I give you, I'm going to give you a virtual hug.
Okay, thank you. I receive it.
Oh, baby.
You smell good.
Soul is touched. Thank you, Dr. Bronis.
Yes.
But I think it's that one, and I want to say it was one more, and I want to say it was like with you and a masculine person, and it was like black and white, rooftop. I forgot the name of it.
Oh, the oh my God,
it was a song playing,
it was Solange. We've been lovers on a mission. What is that song? Oh my goodness,
I forgot.
But Borderline.
Yes,
Solange's Borderline remake.
And it was just the cinematography of it all. It was yes. It was just great. That's why I was just like, I just love your productions. Like, mm-hmm. everything you do is just, mm-hmm. like you said, it's black, it's flavor, it's mm-hmm. queer, it's, I love it. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so with that being said, what is your creative process when it comes to creating these productions or your paintings and even your songs? Like, what is your, how do you layer it through?
So for me, I've always been a creator since a kid. Like, I have awards from third, fourth grade for being creator of the year, leader of the year. So I think what separates a lot of trans women from succeeding in blossoming in their gifts is budget and discrimination. I am so fortunate that I work with organizations like BTFA Collective, who are literally funding the girls just to create, right? I'm so fortunate that I have mentors in my life that have given me equipment to just create. So now all I have to do is look up and think, and I can create anything I want in this world. And I have such a loving village online and off that's going to support anything I put out. So I know that the message will reach people, you know? And for me, the process is pretty streamlined. I do all my videos, all my own pictures, all my own makeup, styling, hair, you know, I'm a Renaissance woman, if you will. So I have the gift. Now it's just accessing, you know, the all the different mediums that I can use to share that gift.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. And I'm happy that you have that, you have those resources, and and you are also a part of the people who also help give those resources.
Yes.
Because like we were discussing on the podcast, an episode, how sometimes it just, it feels good to see someone like you doing what you always thought that you wanted to do, or someone like you doing what you dreamed of doing, because now it actually, it makes it real.
Yes.
And that's what we need.
Right. Listen, I'm T.S. Lizzo. Okay. I'm storming through. I'm storming through. We have never had a plus size trans woman in mainstream anything. So I'm storming through best I know how, and I'm bringing all my girls with me.
So how do you feel about T.S. Madison?
We have never had a plus size woman in mainstream with sense. And there's no shade. No, let me take that back. Shout out to Madison. But we disagree on a lot of things. Recently, the most thing that offended me the most was when they dropped that Secret Society movie about trans women with no trans women in the movie. And Madison had a live with the creator of it and basically coddled her. Didn't address the dangers of that film. That was like the final straw for me. So I plan to enter the mainstream industry with sense, sensibility, and protecting my girls moving forward.
I can definitely see that. I'm not aware of that particular interview nor film that you're talking, but I do realize, like, when I watch stuff like of like hers and Flames, like,
ooh, it God. Is please.
It's very
you see the picture of Flame Monroe and Lil Boozy?
No, I have not. Okay. And it sounds like a mess. It sounds like that don't need to be a thing. But I have my feelings towards Boosie that I'm not going to state.
No problem.
But because he needs prayer and lots of other things. But
dialysis, please concentrate on your health. Stop reading trans children. Stop. Ugh. Concentrate on your health. Please be well.
Yes. Oof. But it's cool. But I do notice, and I feel like, I think Shahari, we talked about this episode one with Kenya. And we were talking about like the differences in like some of the elders and how like their verbiage and how they view their womanhood and their transness and queerness in comparison to like the our generation, and how like sometimes their how to say this, their views can seem detrimental to our progression. And I feel like, you know, and it's not, in, I feel like, I feel like it's not necessarily intentional, but it's just like, it's just that generational thing amongst, you know, amongst us, you know, which all communities, the Black community, you know, any community period, you know, it's going to have differences within generations.
Yes. But, you know, I say you can be ignorant in your own damn home. Stop going on these major platforms and misinforming the masses. That's when we have a problem. I have no problem with someone disagreeing with my politic. We're all human. Mm-hmm. But when you get on these major platforms that are historically transphobic and you add to that fire, you're doing more damage than good. Now, I used to be more understanding and I extended more grace to that generation. But then I stopped when I met icons who are still here, who got the sense, right? So it's not that far. It's not that uncommon. It's just that for them, it's a self-serve mindset, right? Because that's what they had to do to survive.
True.
If it's self-serve, leave it with yourself. Stop trying to advocate for people because you're making it harder against the things where we're refusing to take.
Correct.
Period. That's my whole thing.
I definitely feel that. Mm-hmm. But then my question to you is how does one balance that, especially with our representation in mainstream?
Mm-hmm. So you can be a trans person in art and entertainment. You don't have to be an advocate. You don't. There are many celebrities that live many identities and they just go do their job and go home. I understand that a lot of times the agencies or the industries want you to focus on that. I get it. But mm-hmm. is that not tokenism? You know what I'm saying? At what point do we say as trans folk, okay, I'm here to work. Everything else, give me a talk show, bitch. I'll talk then. You know, we need to start negotiating our destiny because we already know how they see us as sideshow attractions and acts. It shows up in the way they film us, in the scripts they write for us, the way they photograph us. We know this. So, you know, if we can't reclaim our own narratives, we damn sure got to make sure they can't take it from us and sell it in a way that serves their purpose of keeping us beneath them or under wraps or just the clowns. You know what I'm saying? So I think the balance is if you want to be in any industry, don't lead with your transness, love with your transness. Mm-hmm. Lead with your talent, lead with your purpose. And the rest of them, they're just going to have to tighten up. No shade.
I feel that. So to our last question, or possibly our last question, what is the current motivation of your show and your brand outside of what you stated and or that's pretty much that's it. I was going to add something else, but okay, go ahead.
The current motivation for the Miss Mojo brand is survival, number one. The survival of my sisters and brothers in the struggle and just creation. I feel that I am better with each project I create. I feel like I am better for each heart I touch. I feel like I am better for each moment that I say it's mine and I reclaim. So that's pretty much it. You know, it's a simple formula that has served me this far and I hope serves me in the future.
Love it. I love it. Shahari, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I have like one question. As far as any of the opposition that you've come across, if any, how have you overcome those oppositions, if you've had any, in your journey?
So I've had many. Starting with family, you know, because of my transition, I lost, I'm not going to say connections, because connections is giving it too much. I've lost ties to a lot of people, right? Including my father. my mother at one point as well, but we're real cool again, right? We got it together. Shout out to Black women doing work. We always do the work. But as far as industry goes, at the end of the day, beyond my transness, I'm a fat Black woman. So the stigma is always there, right? I am expected to be respectable, right? I'm expected to present a certain way that, okay, she's fat, but she's not sloppy. She's fat, but she's not dark skinned. She's fat, but she's not ghetto. She's fat, but she, you know, her lace is melted, her waist is snatched. It's expected of me to be that way at all times. And to me, it's unfair to women in general, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel that I can never get away with the stuff that my thinner counterparts can. Never. Or be acknowledged for the work that my thinner counterparts produce. And it's no shade to them, because what they do is their ministry. But, you know, I can't just post a picture and a wife beater and a skirt on somebody's roof with a sun emoji and get a million likes. It probably won't happen to me, for me, not at this point in my life, right? I have to be exceptional. I have to have the graphics, the makeup, the styling for it to even resonate with people. Because we know fat phobia is a real thing. We know anti-blackness is a real thing. So those hurdles, I think they're not unique to my experience, but they definitely play a major part in my success. Anything else?
That was all that I had. Okay. So you just pushed through with your own talent, and you just came with complete excellence, like you said in the beginning of the video. Yeah. Said complete excellence all the way through. Okay. And you outshowed some of your thinner people.
Well, that's up to y'all to decide. Okay. I'm just giving y'all the best I got, Anita Baker.
That's it.
How y'all receive it is on y'all. But I do understand the power dynamics and the privilege dynamics within everything I do, for sure.
Yes, that's all the questions that I had. So Black excellence all the way through.
Very good.
I love it. And I definitely feel what you're saying. Mm-hmm. As a fat Black girl myself, like, if we wear the same outfit as our skinnier counterparts, it's kind of like frowned upon in a sense, and or maybe even fetishized even more sometimes than our skinny counterparts. And it's just like trying to like still like serve yourself without giving in to the hate, pretty much.
That part.
So I definitely feel you on that one.
Because the DMs never reflects what's happening in the real world.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
If now. Black fat women shared our secrets, the world would end. The world would end. You hear me? So y'all count your days. And come correct, because the day is going to come when we reveal all. I'm not saying it's going to be me. I'm not saying it's going to be them. Protect your neck. Come correct.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ooh, child.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Mojo. That is all the questions I have for you. I personally have enjoyed having you on, and will hope to have you on again and or collab with you with some other things.
Sure.
Because you are just such a delight to work with and also to party with. So therefore.
I tell you, I'm a better experience offline. If you meet me offline, baby, times will be had. And that's on who? Marsha P. Johnson.
Yes. Well, all right, everyone. Thank you, Miss Mojo. Thank you guys for listening.
Juicy EP dropping this fall. Y'all better stream my shit. Don't be funny.
Yes, get it. It's gonna be on all available platforms or
Okay. Streaming everywhere. And I'm considering actual CDs, but I don't know if people still buy that. So
that is a very good question. I don't I think there's still bootleg men out there that like
pass. Can you imagine Day Day on Fulton Street passing out my mixtape? Like, yo, you gotta listen to this.
That's how
I know trans people have made it. If the bootleggers are dropping out shit with our trans faces on it, my God, you made it.
Wow.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Oh, Jesus.
Reflection.